Bibles, if you will, and turn to Nehemiah chapter 6, where we are tonight. Nehemiah chapter 6. I love this chapter, and specifically because of what it says towards the end, but all the way through it's really good. When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, and Arab, the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall, and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message: "Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono." But they were scheming to harm me, so I sent messengers to them with this reply: "I'm carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave and go down to you?" 4 times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Then the 5th time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, "It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it's true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king, and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come, let us confer together." I sent him this reply: "Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You're just making it up out of your own head." They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, "Now strengthen our hands, Lord. Strengthen my hands." One day I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, the son of Methabel, who was shut in his home. And he said, "Let us meet in the house of God inside the temple, and let us close the temple doors, because men are coming to kill you. By night they are coming to kill you." But I said, "Should a man like me run away? Or should one like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go." I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. And he had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this, and then they would give me a bad name and discredit me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, O my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who have been trying to intimidate me. Verse 15, ooh, I love this. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this and all the surrounding nations saw it, our enemies lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Isn't that awesome? I love how that just puts a stamp on the very end of it. Also in those days, the nobles of Judah were sending many, many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah kept coming to them, for many in Judah were under the oath to him, since he was the son-in-law to Shechaniah, son of Arab. His son Jehonan had married the daughter of Meshulam and son of Berechiah. Moreover, they kept reporting to me his good deeds and then telling him what I said, and Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. Father, I come to you tonight and I just thank you so much for people like Nehemiah who are willing to stand up and do what's right no matter what the cost is and no matter what the opposition is. I thank you, Father, that he was pure before you and that he did the work for you and that he encouraged the people of Jerusalem to do the work for you. And Father, as they rebuilt the walls, they had to do it by faith. They didn't know for sure if it would work. They didn't know for sure if someone would come and attack them or kill them. They didn't know any of that, Lord. But what they did know was this: the work for you is always worth it. And I just thank you, Father, for that statement to our hearts tonight. And I just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever said, "There's something that I just will not do"? Yeah. Be careful when you say that, right? Yeah. Because sometimes what you say gets put back on you. But the fact is that Nehemiah took a stand, and there are some things that he just absolutely would not do. And verses 1 through 5 show us that Nehemiah would not be selfish. You see, he could have listened to what they had said and gone and met with them down in the plain of Ono. But what Nehemiah said was, oh no, I'm not going there because I am going to continue the work that God has given me. As the king's cupbearer, before he even came to Jerusalem, he had an easy life. Literally, he had an easy life. He was in the inner court. He was always in the lap of luxury. All he had to do was taste the food for the king to make sure it tasted good for him. Make sure if it didn't, he had to send it back to the cooks to make sure that they did it better or whatever. And a lot of people think, well, the cupbearer also had to taste the wine and make sure it wasn't poisoned, you know, so if it was poisoned, he would die. Literally, that probably did not happen very often. He really lived a very easy kind of life. But what he did was say, God, I don't want an easy life. I want your life. I want what you have for me. And the scripture tells us that if we are selfish, we're never going to accomplish what God has called for us to do. In fact, Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if anyone would follow after me, whoever wants to be my disciple, they must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Deny yourself. That means whatever you want to do, that's not the first thing. That's not the primary thing. In fact, you say no to self so you can say yes to the Savior. In Luke 9:62, just a little farther down in that chapter, it says this. Jesus replied, no one who puts their hand to the plow and then looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. In other words, don't say you're going to do something for God and then don't do it. We have to be faithful. Nehemiah, he could have been selfish, but no, he chose to be faithful to God and do what God had called him to do. I love this statement by Winston Churchill. In a world of give and take, there are not many willing to give what it takes. And that's so true. I mean, that's so true of people in a church. They're not willing to give what it takes. What it takes is complete sacrifice. What it takes is giving of ourselves. Saying no to us and yes to Him. Nehemiah would not be selfish. Secondly, Nehemiah would not be scared. Look at what it says in verses 9 through 11. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. One day I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, the son of Methabel, who was shut in at his home. And he said, let us meet in the house of God inside the temple and let us close the temple doors. In other words, do something we're really not supposed to do. Only the high priests are supposed to be in there. Because men are coming to kill you by night. And they're coming to kill you. They are by night, they're coming to kill you. Nehemiah wasn't going to be scared of them. The fear of man and what they can do to it can be paralyzing. But Nehemiah shows his courage and his ability to encourage others. You see, folks, there's a lot of people, and I read this article today about this war hero from Vietnam. I'm amazed at what some people will do because they care for their country and they care for the people that they're with. They were pinned down, and they were in a bunker. And as they were in the bunker, three grenades were thrown in at one time. And this man grabbed two of them and got them out of there. And the third one, he threw himself on to protect his other two that were in the trench with him. He lived through that. In fact, he got up after that and he went out into the battle against the Vietnamese. And in that battle, not only was he still bleeding and wounded, his gun was shot, and he couldn't use his gun anymore. And so he went to hand-to-hand combat. You see, was he scared? Probably. Would anybody be scared? Sure. But he didn't let that bother him. He did what he knew what was right to do. Nehemiah wouldn't be scared. He wasn't afraid of man and what they can do because it's more important for us to fear God rather than man. Right? Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You know, I learned that verse when I was a kid. But it didn't really mean something to me until I realized what it was really saying. If God's on my side, too bad for the other side. That's all I'm saying. I remember as a kid, we used to choose sides for football games and stuff. And if I was the captain, I always picked the guy I knew that couldn't be tackled. Right? Because if I had him, I was okay. I could take a bunch of old little wimps and we'd be okay. But man, you know, if you've got God, you've got everything. Nehemiah knew that. Not only did he know that, he acted on that. See, it's something different to know it and then act on it, right? Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 says it like this. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now listen, folks, if God's going to do that for you, what is there to be afraid of? Nehemiah said, hey, I'm not going to be scared. I ain't scared. He also would not be sidetracked. He says, listen, the evil one's plan is to sidetrack us from doing what is right and what is best. What we have started, we need to complete. You know what, folks? When God gives you a vision and when God gives you a plan to work on, Satan doesn't like it at all. And he is going to throw everything he can at you. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, everything else is going to seem to pop up. And it's going to seem to take your attention away from the very most important thing. That's what Satan does. Because he hates God. Why does he hate God? Because God wouldn't let him be God. That's the essence of self right there. And that's the same selfishness that's in most people. They want to be God, not him. But God says, I shall have no other gods before me. Satan is always trying to sidetrack. He's always trying to deceive and disrupt by putting temptations in our way. And that's what he was trying to do with him. This guy comes along and asks him, hey, let's go into the temple so we'll be safe there. You know, they wouldn't come in there. But Nehemiah said, we're not going to do that. I'm going to continue to do what God has called me to do because I'm not afraid of Sanballat and Tobiah and these other guys. I'm not afraid of them. I fear God. Now you got to determine who are you afraid of? We are to fear God. Now, not afraid that he's going to pound us on the head or whatever. That's not what it's talking about. It means in righteous honor of him. When he says I ought to do something, that's exactly what I ought to do. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 25 through 27. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all that you do. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. In other words, when God sets out that plan for you and that path for you, stay on that path. Every distraction, every place that you look that you're not supposed to look is going to get you off track. It's going to get you off track. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the writer of Hebrews says it like this. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Nehemiah understood that. He said, I'm not going to get sidetracked. We're going to finish this wall because God has ordained us to do this and he's commissioned us to do this and we will do this. When's the last time you felt that kind of a call upon your life? Fourthly, Nehemiah would not be sinful. As he was tempted again to go into the temple, tempted to go and meet with these guys, tempted multiple times in this passage to do something that was not what God had said to do. By the way, the enemy is always trying to smite the shepherd, scatter the sheep, and steal the work of God. That's his whole plan. That's his whole M.O. He wants to take out the leader. He wanted to take out Nehemiah. You don't see anywhere in here them talking about trying to do these things to the other people in the group. They were trying to take down Nehemiah because they knew if they took down Nehemiah, that the sheep would scatter. And that would steal the work. And the walls would not be built. We must all be diligent to know His Word and then to do it. We've got to be diligent, folks. That means we can't slip up. We can't take it for granted. We can't, you know, just think that, hey, it's all going to turn out okay, because it's not going to turn out okay unless we keep our eyes fixed where they need to be. James 4:17 says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Nehemiah knew that he had to continue to do what God had called him to do. And lastly, I left the last page, part of my page. Oh, thank you. I don't know where I must have laid it down. Sorry. Nehemiah would not be silent. You know what, folks? We must be willing to speak up. We must be willing to speak when others are quiet. We must be willing to say what God has put on our heart. Too often God's will has been sidelined because those who should have spoken instead were silent. Too many people will miss eternity because we knew the good news, but we would not tell it to them. It tells us in the Old Testament there'll be a time when we will stand in the judgment. And we will see people who God put in our path that we should have spoken to and we should have shared Christ with. And the Scripture says, their blood will be upon our hands. See, Nehemiah, he wasn't going to be silent. In fact, he said, this is why we're doing this. We are doing this for God. And he says, when all our enemies heard about this and all the surrounding nations saw it, our enemies lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. You see, folks, we cannot stand around and be selfish, and we can't be scared, and we can't get sidetracked, and we can't be sinful, and we cannot be silent. Because if we are any of those things, guess who wins? Even though it's a temporary win, This world will win if we are selfish and if we're scared and if we're sidetracked and if we're sinful and if we're silent. The evil one gets battle victories. We've got to stand. We've got to go forward by faith, and we've got to do what God has called us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this beautiful picture in chapter 6 of Nehemiah that shows us what we ought to be like.